episode 104 of Fly Away, a weekly podcast from Outlander Travel about the thing we love most, travel. We're glad you're joining us this week for our 104th episode, which my husband said that I had to say means 2 years of podcasting, if you do the math. Our goal is to inform, educate, and inspire. We hope that tuning in for our weekly chats will help push you outside of your comfort zone and add some new experiences to your bucket list. We're going to talk about some new experiences tonight. We also welcome ideas for topics, so if there's something you'd like to hear more about, let us know. My name is Elizabeth, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Sandy, Lindsay, and Laura. The Caribbean and the East Coast were recently impacted by Hurricane Matthew. Storms like this have a massive impact on travel, and part of that is the uncertainty of which path they will take. Many times it's wait and see if you should cancel your plans, rearrange your schedule, or sit tight and hope for the best. This week, we'd like to give you a behind-the-scenes look at what we were doing in the days leading up to Matthew to reassure our clients and rearrange schedules. Let's get started. So, and we can actually even talk about what we're still doing, because as we're taping this episode, we're sort of just after Hurricane Matthew, but there are a lot of places that are still sort of closed down and
not out of the woods.
You're right, exactly. Yeah. Definitely underwater. So, so it'll be good to sort of talk about the before, during, and after.
Yeah.
No pun intended.
Yeah. So where do you want to start?
Well, I mean, I was actually kind of lucky that I didn't have anybody traveling exactly during the storm, but, I was glued to some of the chat rooms looking at, not chat rooms, but like the Facebook pages and stuff, looking at people who were having to do all kinds of backflips for their clients. I did have some who were, they left today actually for Jamaica. So I was a little worried when it looked like it was heading towards Jamaica if they were going to be able to make their trip, but luckily they were okay. So yeah, that one was good.
I'm helping one of Amy's clients because she is on a cruise right now in Europe. Timed very Amy. Well. She has clients going to the Bahamas at the end of this week. And so I'm calling tomorrow to make sure the hotel is actually able to open. Because there are hotels in the Bahamas that actually aren't going to be able to open for a while. We just got notice that one's going to be closed until December.
Oh, wow. My trip got canceled. I was supposed to get to Nassau on Thursday. Me and Lindsay were.
Yep. This client is leaving on Thursday as well, so. But he's not going where you were going, so fingers crossed.
Maybe he'll be okay. Yeah.
And I have clients going to St. Thomas this weekend, too, which I think St. Thomas is okay, but I'm going to be calling just to make sure as well.
So. Yeah. Yep.
A lot of times, so when things like this happen, the first thing, and this has happened in blizzards, too, I think it's sort of something we can, you know, any sort of natural disaster like this, which happened far more frequently than you realize until you're a travel agent, we're in the throes of this here because we're in the Southeast, except for Lindsay, who's off in the Pacific Northwest and probably is like, Matthew? Who's Matthew? Is he cute?
No, actually, I had clients traveling this week that had residual effects of delayed lines at LAX, and flights and things like that were kind of impacted all over.
Yeah, it can mess up everywhere.
So, yeah. And I do think that's important as you think, oh, well, it's not going to affect me because I'm on the total other side of the country. But if you have a plane coming from an affected area, then it will affect you. So
it becomes your problem. Mm-hmm.
It becomes your problem, exactly.
Or all those people that need to divert, you know, and they might end up in your connection.
And I think that's a common thing we hear as we're working. And incidentally, just to be realistic, there's only so much your travel agent can do for you, depending on what level they are with booking air, because at some point the airline totally takes over that reservation and there's only so much that we can do for you. We will try, but at some point the airline owns that reservation. So what we hear a lot of is, well, the airline put me on a flight, but it's not until 3 days from now and it's no longer a nonstop flight. Well, they probably did that because that's the next flight available because they're moving hundreds of people.
Yeah.
And they will generally move their people with status first. So your, you know, SkyMiles, like super duper platinum person is going to get rerouted before you will.
SkyMiles gold, SkyMiles platinum, yeah. SkyMiles.
They'll go in order of how much money they make off of that person. So, so it is, it's frustrating and we totally get it, but that is sort of the nature of airlines. And that is where like so much of the delay actually happens is in the airlines, hotels, things like that. They're willing to work with you in a lot of ways, but, airlines, they only have so much capacity and they can't fly when they can't actually get off the ground.
Right.
So, which sounds really stupid when I say it out loud, but you know what I mean.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I've heard stories of people who still wanted to go to Florida during this because they wanted to get there before anything happened. Or I don't really know what the thinking was. I guess, you know, growing up in the Southeast, and I actually grew up at the beach, so we took hurricanes pretty seriously. And mm-hmm. I mean, I think my family, maybe because we were actually from Pittsburgh and moved to the beach. But I think because we weren't actually native, we did kind of heed the warnings a little more, and we would evacuate more than my friends would. You know, they would mm-hmm. be like, why did you leave? It didn't even rain. But we did, you know, we kind of always did. But, you know, so I don't play around with it. If they're mm-hmm. telling you don't go there, you just, and it really is hard because you just don't know where it's going to go. You know, like for days they think it's going here, but I mean, Matthew did something that nobody expected when it hit North Carolina, and North Carolina a couple of days later is still flooding. So, yeah. You know, it's, you just don't know.
The fear is that you become desensitized to it. Kind of like if you've been through a couple hurricanes, you're like, yeah, it was no big.
Well, and hurricanes are unpredictable. I mean, with Matthew, we saw at least 16 different paths that it could take.
Right.
And so it's really easy to get sort of cynical about all that and say, well, the chances, I mean, there's 16 paths. So it's 1 in 16 chance that it's going to come my way.
Well, yeah. Or you take all these precautions like the people in Florida mm-hmm. did, and then it skirts by you and you're okay. And then they don't take it as seriously the next time right. because they were okay that time. Right. So, it's just one of those things. You know, I guess also, you know, I lived through Hugo, which was a pretty devastating storm, and it really messed some things up. So, you know, I just leave.
Yeah.
Although, so, yeah. One of the things that I learned in January, I was up in upstate New York, around up near Rochester, Syracuse area, and it was when there were big ice storm and snowstorm came through North Carolina,
mm-hmm.
the big, huge one. The weather was fine in upstate New York. But it was not fine down here, and it was not fine enough that they removed all the airplanes from the Charlotte airport because they didn't want them to get iced.
Yeah.
So it was kind of funny that I was stuck in Buffalo because of the snow in North Carolina, and a friend of mine happens to be a pilot with American, and he was kind of frustrated because we had to wait for like 3 hours on the you know, you'd wait for 3 hours on the line to try and get your flight redone. And he was like, you know, Laura, what am I? Who do I work for? Mike would not have called me and asked for my advice. But one of the things that he said that I did that was like a really good idea was give the airport, because I was supposed to fly out of Rochester. And I said to them, if you can get me out of Buffalo, I can get there also.
Yeah.
And he said, they are scrambling. They are scrambling. And if you can give them an alternative, you know, even if it seems like it's a little crazy, you know, if you can get me to Boston, you know, I'll get home from there, whatever. Mm-hmm. They're looking for you to help them find a. So that's, I've used that a couple times since then to say, when I was in delayed flights in Dallas and stuff, to say, you know, if you can get me here, I can get home.
Yeah,
you know,
go ahead,
Lindsay.
That's a really good point, because a lot of people don't think that they have the option to say, hey, these are my future travel plans, especially if you have a flight, you're going someplace and then you're going someplace else after that. You can say, this is my final destination. Is it easier for you to help me get there? Or mm-hmm. is it easier for you to help me with this leg of my journey, or I can go out of this? That's a really great point, because a lot of people, it won't even cross their mind to broach that subject of, oh, I have other options.
Yep. And so let's talk a little bit. We talked a little bit about air, but I want to talk, and we're going to pick on Disney a little bit, because I think we're all most intimately familiar with what happened at Disney in this particular situation.
Yeah.
First of all, hurricanes don't hit Walt Disney World very often. They don't hit Central Florida very often. And when they do, it's sort of unpredictable as to how devastating it will be.
Mm-hmm.
So, so basically it was announced that Disney World would close at 5 o'clock that day, which I think was
Friday.
Thursday. That was Thursday, right? Thursday. And then Friday,
you're
it was
right,
closed
right.
all day.
Yep.
And they told their guests, look, we're going to close at 5, and then we're going to be closed all day the next day. I think there's a point where you really do need to seriously consider, first of all, your travel insurance, which you should have all the time. And the risk to your life. And, you know, it's very easy to say, well, we'll just stay here and ride out the storm. We're going to be here, you know, we'll just stay in the hotel tomorrow. It'll be fun. So if you've ever been snowed in at your house, or, you know, this is an emergency where the people who work at Walt Disney World have to take care of their homes, right, and their families. Yeah. And so they have to really operate on a skeleton crew at best. And so the more crowded your resort is, the larger resorts are, the value in the moderate resorts, mm-hmm, the harder it is for them to manage those crowd levels. So if you were scheduled to check out on Saturday, this is a really good time to consider just packing it in, especially, mm-hmm, if you have travel insurance, because you may have a claim for a trip interruption.
And if you were driving.
And if you were driving, because you can get out.
Yeah.
And that was the thing. The Orlando airport closed for a day.
Right.
So it actually became very difficult, and the conditions in a situation like that, and we've all heard the horror stories of cruise lines losing power, you know, cruise ships losing power, or whatever. This is what happens. We run on electricity, and when electricity goes away, it's
think
not
about
fun.
It this way, you know. So Disney, I was reading stories of people who spent the days at the park. You know, they went to the park that day, and then thought they were going to go back to their resort and just eat at the resort with all the other people, 500 rooms worth of people, you know, and you know, so Disney, you know, tried to accommodate, but people were upset at the lines for the food and the idea that they could lose power
and they might run out of food.
Yeah, you could get food that night, but what were you going to do tomorrow whenever everything was going to be closed and you knew it was going to be closed? You know, you have to think about that. With Lindsay and I were joking. We're like, you know what we would have done? We would have been at the parks, but we would have been hoarding everything we saw.
And I would have been
simultaneously hoarding food.
I would have been on Amazon Prime now, which incidentally is in Orlando, ordering my groceries to be brought to me.
God,
you know,
I mean,
so use your modern technology. And a lot of people, they just weren't thinking about that because there were people, you know, I have many travel agent friends who were telling their clients, go over to Crossroads and get your groceries. Yes, it's an expensive grocery store. You'll eat well for a day, but mm-hmm, it's as much as you would have spent on meals at Disney and, you know, you'll have food.
Yeah. And at that point at 5 o'clock, you could take that taxi ride, pay that taxi ride, go get your food. If you are absolutely dead set on staying there, make sure that you're okay. Take care of yourself and your family. I mean, I just think that falls under that whole, I don't know if you want to call it the pixie dust syndrome or whatever it is when people are on Disney property.
Yeah. You know, I'll say this though.
The reality of life tends to fade away and you're focused on this little bubble that you're in. But when things like this happen, you have to be proactive and you have to be your own advocate on some things because from some of the things I was reading that happened, they could have easily been, those situations could have easily been avoided with a little bit of,
yeah.
And you're absolutely right, Lindsay, because Disney does take very, very good care of you. And for the most part, I think they did take very good care of their guests, considering.
But it is set up so that you don't think about the outside world when you're in the parks.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's a good time to be in touch with your travel agent also and say, hey, how bad is this? They said the parks were going to close. What is going on?
Do you have a number for green grocers?
Yeah, exactly. I do think that is a huge difference. And it's one of those places, too, where if you're staying in a deluxe resort, you're probably going to be a little bit more comfortable than at a value or a moderate. And it really is sheer numbers of people. I look at the photos online and I see the number of people wandering through the food courts on that Friday. And I just get really...
I mean, if you think about it, Pop Century is a massive resort. Yes. That's where they send the busloads of kids for all of the
all-star
resorts, travel
especially trips.
Yeah. I mean, that is what they're for. And so the
Sandy
food courts get crowded.
We were talking about this earlier. Remember, we were talking about that. In the design of the resorts,
mm-hmm,
those resorts are designed, I mean, your value resorts are typically designed for you to be there a minimal amount of time, to be completely honest. They're there for the family who is going to spend all of their time in the parks and just crash in the room and they just want a place to sleep. The moderates have a few more amenities, and then the deluxes, as you go up, you have those comfort, they're designed with more comfort in mind. So yeah, you didn't read a lot of complaints coming from the people who were in the deluxes.
Yeah, those people were saying it was awesome.
Yeah. Well, incidentally, there's still a lot of those amenities are closed. I mean, the pools weren't open, and you know, a lot of those things that you paid for are going to be closed. Not that you want to be out in the pool in a hurricane, but so those are the sorts of things you would want to take into consideration as you're deciding whether or not to stay or go. Now, if you're right at the beginning of your vacation and you still have a week left of your vacation, I can see some justification for going ahead and riding it out. But there were a lot of people who were there, you know, where Saturday was their last day, or even Sunday, at some point you do have to just sort of make a decision mm-hmm. whether it's worth it to chalk it up and get out of Dodge. And we're picking on Disney, but this is sort of true anywhere. If you had been in a hotel in Miami, if you had been anywhere like that, mm-hmm. you would have, and heaven forbid, had you been in a hotel at Cape Canaveral, you know, those places where it got really, really hit, you would have to evacuate. You would really have to. So really, St. Augustine was completely underwater.
Yeah.
You just consider your options and that, yes, maybe it won't be so bad. And maybe you will be on your way back to, you know, to Michigan, driving your car going, ah, shoot. But,
better safe than sorry.
Better safe than sorry. And with our techniques today for forecasting weather, it's worth paying attention.
So let's switch gears just a tad bit and talk about the cruises, because Port Canaveral was really looking scary for a little while there.
Yep.
And, you know, if a Category 4 takes a direct hit over Port Canaveral, I mean, I was so freaked out thinking about that, because I'm going on a cruise in November out of Port Canaveral. But so you had somebody on a cruise.
I did. Right? I had somebody on the Disney Fantasy, which is the 1 week cruise that goes Saturday to Saturday. Mm-hmm. And then the other cruise the other Disney cruise that was out on the water was the Disney Dream, which goes Monday to Friday.
Well, and the Magic up in New York.
And the Magic, it was sort of affected as well. So, and of course Carnival had issues and Royal Caribbean had issues, but I did have clients on the Fantasy, and it's really interesting because when my clients are on a cruise, when my clients are on vacation, I'm not the travel agent that's always going, how's it going? How's it going? How's it going? If you're happy or if you're sad or whatever, I hope you'll tell me, but I'm not going to bother you on your vacation. And I hope that you will do the same for me. So, and when you're on a cruise ship, of course, I had no idea if my clients had purchased an internet package, and this was a trip that they had saved for a year and a half. I mean, like, we booked this the day that, you know, 2016 cruises came out, and they have been looking forward to it. And so before they left, they were like, hey, this Hurricane Matthew thing is looking kind of bad. What's your advice? So I sent them a long list of things. And some of my advice for cruise travelers when there's a hurricane coming, make sure that if you are prone to motion sickness, you get your Dramamine or whatever it is. Even if you were thinking that you'd be okay, in a hurricane, it can get a little bit rockier. Mm-hmm. Also be ready for rain. I mean, it may rain on your cruise. They will try to get around the hurricane as much as possible. This was a big old hurricane.
Yeah.
In this case, I was really pleased. My clients contacted me on Wednesday or Thursday and said, hey, we heard Port Canaveral might be closing. Do you know what'll happen? By the way, the weather has been fantastic. We haven't, and I knew that they hadn't missed a port because I'd been watching to make sure. No, so far we haven't missed anything, but they said we'll miss Castaway Key, which is a bummer.
Yeah.
No doubt. But they were like, the weather has been fantastic. They had a great, great experience. 1 week cruise. They did get an extra night because Port Canaveral had some traffic issues. You know, they couldn't, mm-hmm. they were closed on Friday. So the Disney Dream couldn't come back. And so they had options. They could have taken everybody to Tampa and sort of bust them across the state, which they would have done had Port Canaveral really sustained major damage. But what they ended up doing was just staying offshore. And the Disney Dream, the cruise that would have been Friday to Sunday was canceled, mm-hmm. Which is also a huge bummer. But then everybody who was on the Disney Dream stayed on the Disney Dream until Sunday. They got off the ship Sunday, and then the Fantasy pulled in, unloaded passengers who should have gotten off on Saturday, and then the Disney Fantasy guests who should have been on Saturday got on Sunday for a 6-night cruise. And Disney did offer compensation because they didn't get what they paid for, but they're still, I think, having a great time. And so it was a great logistical, you know, fantastic.
They went to Mexico, right? To the extra day. Mm-hmm. And I remember reading one of the cruises that decided to hang out by Key West after the storm had come through. And so people had internet because they could use their cell phones and stuff. Yeah. So, I mean, and we were on our cruise last year for our conference, and Hurricane Joaquin came through, and we diverted, you know, missed Nassau. And I was really impressed with how it worked out, actually. I thought it was a good experience so that I could firsthand talk about how cruises do that.
Well, and we had rain. They didn't even, I mean, my fantasy, we had that one day. We didn't really have rain. They had a fantastic, they basically had the cruise they signed up for minus Castaway Key, which incidentally, you can lose a port for lots of reasons.
Wind
or whatever. And Castaway Cay is one that is fairly easy to get into, but this is not the first cruise to have missed Castaway Cay.
Yeah.
And it hasn't been because there's a hurricane. It's been other weather conditions that have caused it to happen. So
what happened with their flights with them coming in so late?
Their flights? Is that what you asked?
Yes.
So
they were coming on Saturday.
This was an extended family. There were three cabins total. Two of the cabins had driven. So they just had to deal with their car, which I was worried because they were parked at, they did a park and cruise, which for our listeners is where you stay at a hotel. And then the hotel, basically you pay a slightly higher rate, but they give you parking for the time of your cruise, which actually ends up being cheaper than paying for parking. Mm-hmm. So they were parked at their hotel. And so there was all this sort of, will our car be okay? And there's really no way for me to find out. But it was fine. The one part of the family, one cabin that flew, they were having a really hard time getting a new flight out of MCO. So they ended up renting a car and driving home. This family is from the Kentucky area, Tennessee, Kentucky. It's not an impossible drive. It's not, you know, a short drive either, but that was actually their whole planning. They were like, should we drive? Should we fly? Should we drive? Should we fly? So for them, it really, you know, it just became, look, we can't get our,
Cause it's going to be a hassle to go sit at the airport and wait.
Right. And tons of people were trying to leave because we'd lost a day and a half of flights.
Yeah.
So everybody's trying to get out. So for them, it was just easier. And the car company, they used a private car, that I booked for them to get them from Orlando to the port and then from the port back to Orlando. He was super easy to work with and honestly went above and beyond because he basically told them, if you change your mind and need me, call me. And so he stayed up till like midnight, which he probably does anyway, but he stayed up till like midnight just to make sure. And he sent me an email like 12:01. He said, it's midnight. I'm assuming that they're on their way home and they don't need us. So I'm going to cancel this half of their
transfer.
Yeah.
So
we work with
people. Something that's covered by their travel insurance, the travel insurance that picked up for their...
Very good question. I was just about to bring up travel insurance because... You know, it's not all, like if you see a hurricane is coming and the flights aren't canceled yet or something like that, then your travel insurance might not cover it if you just decide on your own to cancel. And when I lived in Myrtle Beach, this was a thing too. I remember, people wanted to evacuate for this one hurricane that was coming in like July. It was really weird for it to be that early. And the hotels would not refund any money until the governor declared a state of emergency. Mm-hmm. And once that happened, everybody got on the road at exactly the same time because it was
so much fun.
Oh, it was such a nightmare. I mean, I just hung out and waited, but, Do you want to talk about your travel insurance then?
Well, I mean, I think that that's one reason you'll see on travel insurance, a cancel for any reason rider. And that's where, you know, if you're traveling during hurricane season, that's where sometimes it's worth it to pick up that extra insurance because that does allow you to cancel in a lot of cases. And you need to read your policy very carefully. And that's something as travel agents are not licensed to sell insurance. And what we mean by that is we can sell you a policy. We can purchase the policy on your behalf. We can send you the information about it. But if you have specific questions about coverage, you have to call the insurance company to find out. We are not allowed to answer those questions for the obvious legal reason. It's just the same reason that you wouldn't call your friend who's a paralegal to ask about divorce. You really need to eventually talk to a lawyer.
Right.
We know enough to say it's definitely worth having. But yeah, you want to read your policy very carefully. And if you are traveling during hurricane season, that might be the time to bump up to a cancel for any reason.
Another thing too is don't think that you're going to be able to, see a storm's coming next week and buy your insurance then to have it cover you.
We've had so many calls in the last 2 weeks about people wanting to add insurance.
They're on to that.
Yeah.
they could.
Well, it's just honestly, if you go to the doctor and get diagnosed with something terminal, not to be really, bleak, but you can't call insurance then and
you
say...
You can't add renter's insurance once there's a storm coming.
Right.
It's just
same
like
thing.
That. Yeah.
It's insurance.
Yep.
So get it right away, and then you don't have to worry.
And then
about
it just depends, and you got to kind of look at your policy and call the insurance company and see what happens.
Yeah. And it's interesting because usually when I work with people, I send them a travel protection quote after we've purchased the insurance to give them a few choices. After we purchased the trip, to give them a few choices, unless it's a trip where you have to purchase the travel insurance before, which there are some suppliers that do that.
Yeah.
And the trips I've sold in the last week, people have asked me before I've sent them, mm-hmm. you know, when are you going to send me travel protection? You know, so yeah, I'm having to sort of bump it up my to-do list.
Yeah, I saw a lot of it too. So let's talk a little bit about, I kind of want to mention Haiti because I don't want to be a downer, but Haiti really got hit bad. And, you know, we haven't seen a lot of it in the news. I've seen nothing about Nassau in the news because, you know, in North Carolina, we've been consumed with what's going on in North Carolina. But Haiti really got devastated. And the Sandals organization has a foundation, and we've mentioned it once before. We mentioned it after the Nepal mm-hmm. earthquake, I think. Mm-hmm. I don't know why they'd be in Nepal.
No. I think we mentioned it during the Sandals episodes, I think.
Okay. So basically, they have a foundation, and if you ever go to a Sandals, you can partake in some of their outreach things that they do, or you can bring donations of like backpacks for school kids and things like that. But the cool thing about it is that Sandals pays 100% of the operating costs for their foundation. So all of the donations actually go towards the outreach and the doing good in the community. And, you know, they've made a specific plea for Haiti. And so because they're a Caribbean neighbor and they know how devastating this was, sandalsfoundation.org, if you'd like to help those people, they really, really need it. So.
Just donated today, and I think it's the only one I've seen where 100% of what you donate is going to actually go to.
It is very rare for that to happen. Yeah.
Yeah.
It is very rare. And to be fair, a lot of charities, I mean, it does cost money to do these things.
Right. So there's operating costs.
Yeah.
But they cover the operating costs.
Right. In this case, Sandals is paying all that so that, from their operating budget. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, So I think to summarize, basically, travel during a hurricane is iffy, and you need to be careful about it, and you need to be prepared for it. And so my cruise clients ended up having a great time. And cruising is, for as far as things to book during hurricane season, cruising is a great choice because the cruise ships do have the ability to reroute. Yep. And yes, you may miss, you know, a stop or two. And actually, when we missed Nassau when Joaquin came through, mm-hmm. but we saw pictures of what Nassau had looked like that day. There's no way we would have wanted to be there.
You might have to change your packing too, because that Magic cruise we mentioned that left from New York went mm-hmm. to Canada instead of
Bahamas.
So,
and incidentally, that's happened. I had clients last year that got rerouted a very similar way. They were supposed to go to Bermuda and they ended up going to Canada.
So. I mean, you know, but there's fall foliage and I bet it was beautiful.
Oh, I'm sure it was beautiful. Canada's lovely. And it's Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
So
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
We love our neighbors. We love their prime minister too.
So yeah, it's definitely different, but if you're prepared, and again, consider when you're starting to hear like places are evacuating, that sort of thing, consider whether or not it's time to end your vacation, mm-hmm. you know, before you, I won't say burden a hotel or a resort, but it really is. I mean,
and if you do stay, keep in mind that, you know, there's going to be long lines. There's going to be frustration. Don't take it out on the people that work there because they live there. And that, I mean, I can't even imagine that stress of worrying
about.
Imagine
going to work when you're worried about what's going on at your home or with your family and your loved ones. And
yeah, totally.
It's not a,
All right. Well, that is our show for this week. We welcome your comments and your feedback on this episode or any episode, really. To leave comments, visit us at outlandertravel.com. Then click podcast at the top of the page and find the episode you wish to comment on. Or you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/outlanderpodcast. And please be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes if you enjoy listening every week. On behalf of Sandy, Lindsay, Laura, and myself, Elizabeth, thank you for joining us here at Outlander Travel, and we'll see you next week. Gotta fly.